Maybe there are words about what Jesus taught, and they sound right. We know he gave this truth to everybody, to anybody who found him, as he and his students, the disciples and others, walked from village to town to city. And hearing these words, we feel inspired and comforted. Here in Quimby Church in Secaucus, they resonate. It's the same. There's no time. The fact that these words were spoken 2,000 years ago, they're the same as if Jesus Christ walked right in and started talking. They give us a sense of belonging, of acceptance of who we are, just as we are. And this feeling here in the sanctuary carries over into coffee hour, where it feels natural to look around and participate and see how we can help. But then we go back out into the world. What can we take with us that will help us keep this sense of closeness to a man who lived 2,000 years ago and who was born on earth to show us by his example how to live in this world and not be part of the ups and downs, how to keep our inner peace and love for our fellow man in the midst of a barrage of conversations and news reports of problems. One very important key to understand and unlock our fixed opinions, to know that there's another way to see what is going on. And that is, if we understand the word power. The law of God is power. And what most people think of as power is out in the world. There are really two sets of laws, man's laws and God's laws. But there's just one power. It looks like man's laws are a power that's uncontested. Everybody would agree with you. But there, the Bible is filled with examples of the mightiest of man's laws that come to the Hebrews and absolutely melt when the activity of God's law is called on and man's power is of no avail. We're going to look at several examples. One is in your program in Luke 4, and I'm going to back up just a little bit to give it some context. And Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. And he closed the book, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And the people in the synagogue began to say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" And they got so angry that here was someone that grew up in Nazareth claiming that he was the Messiah that had been, prophets had been talking about coming for hundreds of years. And Jesus says, "I'm he." And they got so angry that they rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill where their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And in verse 30, "But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Now, man's power, an angry mob, determined in full agreement that Jesus insulted God. "We can't have this. Let's get rid of him." And in the midst of this angry mob, God led Jesus to safety, to continuing his mission, his ministry. Man's power had no power when confronting God's power. God's power is unknown to most people, yet it's always existed. Another example, 800 years before the birth of Jesus, a great army was headed toward the Hebrews. And we've talked about this in the past. King Jehoshaphat got word. He called his chief priest and he asked everybody to pray. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon the priest, and he was inspired to say what Carolyn read us in verse 17. "You shall not need to fight. Fear not. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Unarmed Hebrews, men, women, children, went out the next day against what they thought would be this invading army. They had no idea what would happen. But in man's rules, man's laws, they would be decimated. Unknown to them, in the bushes, hidden there, was an army who had come, that had come to invade and conquer the Hebrews. And then they got word that this greater army was on its way. So there were two armies against this unarmed group. And the people in the bushes ended up ambushing the other army, the bigger army, and they lost, the bigger army lost, because they were totally unprepared. And then, instead of turning around, the victors, instead of turning around and then fighting the Hebrews, they fought among themselves, killed everybody. And the scripture says it took 3 days for the Hebrews to go out and collect all the treasures from the battlefield. God's power rendered totally ineffective two armies. And the verse said, basically, trust me. You shall not need to fight this battle. You have a power that is God's power that will take care of it. And in this instance, word got out among the neighboring countries that God fought against the enemies of Israel. And so people decided not to invade this country. Apparently it was in very desirable land and had been planted and there were wells. And however, you're not going to win if you go against God. And only God's power could manage such a scenario. And this is exactly the same power that is with us today, right now. This is why Jesus could say, of myself, I do nothing. And then the blind man in front of him had sight. And the man who was paralyzed for 38 years was able to get up and take up his bed and go home. It's because it wasn't Jesus the man doing it. It was the power of God in Jesus that he knew and relied on and trusted before he knew what the result would be. Jesus, the human being, knew that worldly power stood no chance against the only real power, God's power. Jesus gave this inner, invisible power several names. He called it the Father within. He called it the Christ, the kingdom of heaven. And this power abides in each of us, ready to be called on. It takes whatever form is appropriate to the moment. When the Hebrew people, which were being treated as slaves in Egypt, were escaping from Egypt and being pursued, they were on foot and they were being pursued by the Egyptian army with chariots and horses. And they got to the sea and this invisible power parted the sea for the Hebrews to cross. And when they were safe, the sea resumed its natural flow, drowning the pursuing army. And then, here was this great group of people in the wilderness, and this power became manna, became their food. In summary, in order to connect ourselves with this power, there's really nothing that has to be added to us. Everything is here. We need to begin to let go of believing that what looks like power in the outer world is the only power, is really powerful. When we can begin to gain confidence that God's power is a power over which there is no other power. We don't know what it is. We don't tell God, do this, go here, do that. God knows much more than we know. Begin to expand our understanding that what we see and hear and everybody else thinks is the whole picture is really only part. Part of the condition, part of the relationship. It is God that sees the whole picture. And not is only is God the only power, God is the only presence and is in and through everybody. And this substance is love. So we don't have to worry about what's fair, what's not fair, what our role is. It's all good. God is the source. Just like Jesus moving unharmed through an angry mob, and King Jehoshaphat being told, you will not have to fight, and two armies were defeated. We too can begin to trust what we know more than what we see and feel. Because it's based on false information. It's not the whole picture. And we trust. And like Jesus, we say, you know, of myself, I'm not doing anything. This good is God's doing, God's design, and God answers. Let us pray.
Amen.
Loving Father, we ask your help to strengthen our belief and our reliance on you throughout our daily living. Thank you for your loving presence. And so it is. Amen.